Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of The Perceptive Photographer. I'm your host, Daniel Gregory, and today I wanted to talk about the audience or the viewer of photographs. I think a lot of times when we think about our own work, we focus on what we can do as photographers and artists to create meaningful work, but ultimately we have another party in that process. It's a relationship that we build, and that relationship is with the viewer or consumer of the photograph. There's a great quote by, actually there's two great quotes by Ansel Adams. One is, there's always two people in every picture, the photographer and the viewer, and I think the other quote of his I like is, a photograph is usually looked at, seldom looked into. And I think that second quote kind of summarizes a lot of the problems that photographers sometimes have when they look at who and how people are responding to their work. I think one of the things we have as a challenge is at first is kind of finding our audience and who our viewers are and what they are going to look at in our work and how they're going to respond to our work. And I think a lot of times because of somewhat of the instant gratification of the way our modern information age works, we kind of expect that reaction to almost be instantaneous. Things like Instagram, Facebook, Google Plus provide such immediacy to our information and photographs that we put out there that we sometimes forget that oftentimes finding and building our true audience takes time. I think about Van Gogh, who was relatively unknown and unrecognized throughout his lifetime, and yet in history is regarded as one of the greatest painters ever. I think a lot of times we forget that we may not necessarily even understand who our audience is or who our work is ultimately catering to when we're first getting started in our work, or when we're struggling to change our work, if you're a commercial photographer moving into fine art or fine art into editorial, that sometimes that process of finding that new audience and learning how to speak with that new audience is oftentimes a challenge. And we don't always necessarily allow ourselves the opportunity to figure those things out. Because ultimately, art is got a purpose of creating a dialogue. Its purpose is to create a conversation. And we have to think about as artists, what do we want that conversation to be? What dialogue do we want to start? So do we want to have people take on social issues? Do we want to have them take on political issues? We don't create art just for the sake of creation. Ultimately, there is some meaning and intention behind that. We may not fully understand it ourselves, and that's why that dialogue is so important. Oftentimes, it's the viewer of the work who's able to point things out about our own work and our own creative process we may or may not have understood. And it's through that feedback that we're able to better understand how to create more meaningful work moving forward. It's also, I think, a response to the desire of us to have more meaningful conversations. As I said earlier, you know, you take something like an Instagram or a Facebook where that response and that feedback is so short, so brief, and so instantaneous that sometimes we don't ultimately have the conversation we want to have. And so we have to think about, in creation of work and engaging with those viewers, how do we draw out into a longer conversation? And I think we have to consider really what the audience is or what the viewer's response to us is. So as artists, we create things all the time. But what a viewer gives us is time, and it gives us their attention. And if we're lucky, they give us a conversation or a dialogue back. And if we think about the first component of that time, the average person spends less than a quarter of a second looking at an image. We're just saturated and oversaturated with imagery these days. And so people don't spend a lot of time to look at that image, which goes back to that quote by Ansel about how an image is seldom looked into. And for an image and a viewer to actually spend time and linger with the image and to see and understand the layers and complexity that may exist within the photograph, I think is something that we really have to understand as photographers, really how valuable that is. I also think that kind of leads to what we need to think about in terms of what we owe the audience, whether it be meaningful work, work that engages, work that helps further the conversation, explores an unknown path. I think we have to really think about, you know, what do we as artists owe that audience? Because if they're going to give us their time and attention and their conversational dialogue, we owe putting something out in front of them that is actually meaningful and worth having that conversation about. And I think that's really where a lot of times we find ourselves as artists breaking down. The viewer comes in hungry for that conversation. They actually want to see meaningful work. They want to have a meaningful dialogue, but that requires a level of sophistication on our part as artists to actually create work that is meaningful. And I think in a lot of times we might actually spend more time enamored with the ease at which we can create an image or the ease at which we might be able to post and present information. And ultimately that cheapens, in I think a lot of ways, the level of work we're creating for the audience that we actually want. And so a smaller, more meaningful audience might require a much more sophisticated image. And so if you think about going out and experiencing a photograph and you have a single snapshot and you don't have any complexity in it and there's no layers to the image, the midground, foreground, and background don't actually relate to a more complex story, you've basically asked for a sophistication in your audience that doesn't require them to think that much. They don't have to do that much to experience the photograph. But if you actually take more time and get them to engage more and more in the photograph, I think it becomes more and more interesting. I was at the Palm Springs Photo Festival recently, and that was one of the comments about my own work, was that it appeared as if I was trying too much to give a very simple story in the entire photograph, and I didn't leave any room for the audience to figure anything out. And while that might be fine on some level, it doesn't engage in the kind of dialogue that I would like to have with my audience. I would like for my audience to have to figure something out. I'd like them to have to actually think about what they're seeing, the complexity of it, what does it actually mean in their own life, and then to have a dialogue either with me about the work or with somebody else about the work. So to create very simple photographs that don't have any level of mystery or complexity becomes a challenge. And that was one of the things I took away from that those conversations, was my own audience was being, you know, shortchanged from my own experience, because I was having an experience in the taking of those photographs that was much more complex, but I was not reflecting that in the work. And so I think there's an opportunity for me to go back and really think about how I'm experiencing my own process of taking photographs and the own stories I'm telling myself that can hopefully then be reflected back when we actually look at more meaningful work, hopefully, that I create in the future. So one of the things that I would challenge you to do is really think about what type of conversation you like to have when you think about art. You know, do you like to look at work, you know, even from somebody like a Rothko, a Van Gogh, a Matisse, or from a photographer who you appreciate? What is it about their work that really engages you? What are those questions? What are those conversations? What does that dialogue look like? And then take the time to actually really process that into your own work, and then think about how to translate that back out so that when you then have your audience, you're able to provide them at least the starting point for the dialogue you'd like to have. So rather than having to spoon feed them something simple, provide them an overly complex story, a story without any meaning, you're able to then go in and really find out what is important to them, what is important to you, and really have that dialogue to move forward. I don't necessarily think this is something that is easy to do with every image. I think this is one of the things that separates great photography from just okay photography, is that willingness to really dive in and figure out what is it about my audience, how smart is my audience, and then how do I make sure that I'm working to my audience's intellectual level and not just pandering to the lowest common denominator. I think in a lot of ways, Hollywood already does a great job. They create 2-hour popcorn movies that don't require us to think. We absorb a lot of action, but we walk away with no real thought of what does that mean? How does that help me understand the world? You know, it's giving me a 2-hour moment of escape, but it doesn't really drive things forward. But yet there are motion pictures and things like that all out of Hollywood that do resonate with us over time. And I think it's because they do require more out of the audience. They require the audience to think more. They require the audience to participate more in that process. So I challenge you to think about that in your own work, and how do you step up and create much more sophisticated, much more engaging conversations. I hope that you found some of this information valuable and thinking about how we deal with our audiences and our viewers when they look at our work. You can subscribe to The Perceptive Photographer on iTunes, or you can find us at www.theperceptivephotographer.com. And I hope to see you again soon. Have a great day and a great week behind the camera, and we'll see you next time.